Judges chapter number 6. And this is, for those of us who have been Christians for a while, this is a pretty familiar story about Gideon. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, verse number. Why don't we do this? We're going to skip a little bit down to verse number 15. Judges 6, verse number 15. Okay. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Now, we're not going to read all the previous verses, but of course, God's people were in trouble again, and God chose to raise up a leader to lead his people to defeat the enemy army and give them victory. And of course, this leader was Gideon. Look at verse 16. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Go down to chapter 7, if you would, please, and look at verse 1. Chapter 7, verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. So first Gideon says, hey, I'm not even qualified. I can't do this, Lord. And the Lord says, listen, I'll be with you. And then they're about ready to go out to battle. And the Lord comes to Gideon. He says, you know, you got too many men. Your army's too big. They're like, what? He said, the reason I say your army's too big, he says, I know what you're going to do. By the way, do you know God knows what we're going to do tomorrow? And God knows what we would do. And he said, I know what you're going to do. He said, you're going to take credit. You're going to take credit for this victory. So we're going to cut this army a little bit down. So let's look on. He said, again, verse 2, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, and Israel, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now, therefore, go to proclaim, and he's going to give them a little ways to cut the army down a little bit. Now, therefore, go and proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And he says, okay. They're not even supposed to be there anyway if they're fearful. But he says, okay, let's trim down this army. He says, whoever's afraid, you can go home. And there returned of the people 22,000. Whoa, you just lost 22,000. One whack. All the scaredy cats. Bye-bye. Okay? And there remained 10,000. So we just trimmed the thing about two-thirds. You just lost about two-thirds of your army, okay? And there remained 10,000. So they started with 32,000. They're down to 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Gideon's going, wait a minute. You sure about that? Okay. Bring them down onto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and of whomsoever I shall say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink, And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. Verse 7, and the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. They start with 32,000 men. They're down to 300. But the Lord said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. By the way, we serve a God that wants to get the credit. Even though we're a part of it, even though we're a tool in the hands of God, he wants to make sure that we give him the credit. Amen? Father, help us tonight as we just look at a truth in a different way that I think most of us understand. The girls were just singing about it. But Lord, might we just look at your word and might it just penetrate our hearts tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 16, please. 2 Chronicles 16. So here, by the way, we didn't read the rest of the story. Of course, God took care of business and God got the job done with just the 300 men. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. You ever wonder why Jesus didn't start with like 1,000? See, what did he do? He started with 12. Okay. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Look at verse number 7. Asa, God had already delivered the Ethiopian army, 1 million man army. And now Asa is about to face another battle, another enemy. And now he begins to ally with someone he's not supposed to ally with. And God sends a prophet. By the way, remember this. You say, how does God get his word across? Well, of course, his word, we look in his word. But a lot of times he sends some prophet, some guy starts yelling and preaching the truth and just busts up the party. You look all through the Bible, you look in the Old Testament, and here comes this, he's like, here, who's this prophet? Some prophet you hardly heard about. And let's look at verse 7. And at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria. If we read the previous six verses, we would have seen that. You relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God. Therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host? He's talking about a past victory. By the way, remember this, and I'll say this in the message. Yesterday's victory is not good enough for today. Today's victory, not good enough for tomorrow. And God says, hey, didn't I show you before with the Ethiopians? Lubin, a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen. Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. Look at verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. And so God has the seer come and says, listen, you've made a drastic mistake because of your faith in God has waned. Then he says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. Look at verse 10. Then Asa was wroth with the seer. By the way, last year maybe somebody was saying amen to the seer, and maybe today they're getting angry at the seer. And here's Asa. Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in prison, a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of the thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the books of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. I want you to look at one more portion of Scripture. Go over to Mark 5. We read this in Faithfulness Rally yesterday, but I want us to get this. Our theme, our 70,000 door campaign, we're going to go soul winning and knock on doors, and our theme is go and tell. But we're not just going and telling. Go and tell what great things the Lord hath done. And we get that from this portion of the Bible, Mark chapter 5, and let's look at verse 13. Mark 5, verse number 13. The maniac, of Gadara. Mark 5, verse 13. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, I read all this scripture here yesterday, but this maniac of Gadara, of course, he was filled with the demons, and then Jesus cast these demons out. But look at verse 13. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they had fled, the swine fled and told it in the city, in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid, and they that saw it told them how it befell on him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast, just like Asa was threw the preacher in prison. They're kicking Jesus out of their country there, their area, and they're booting him out. They don't want anything to do with him. Verse 18, and when he was coming to the ship, he left. He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Please get this. And so this guy that was filled with these demons, Jesus took care of the demons. This man got saved. He's asking to go with Jesus, and this is what Jesus tells him to do, verse 19. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. He said, no, you can't come, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and have had compassion on thee. The message tonight is real simple. The title of the message is, I have two titles, a life message, or go and tell what great things God has done. Let me say, first of all, our problems today are God's opportunities to give us a life message for him. A life message is when we allow God to do something in and through our lives so that we can tell the story about how great things God has done for us. The Lord wanted Gideon, the Lord wanted to give Gideon and his people a life message, a life message about how God can do a lot with a little. The Lord had given Asa a life message already by miraculously helping Asa to defeat the Ethiopians. The Lord wanted to give Asa more of a life message by helping him defeat his next enemy. Then we read in Mark chapter 5, the Lord gave the maniac of Gadara a life message by saving him and having the demons cast out of him. And then Jesus said, go and tell what great things the Lord hath done to you. Our problem, by the way, we all have problems. Tonight, I don't know what your problem is. Maybe your problem might be a health problem. By the way, God doesn't heal everybody, but maybe it might be a health problem. Maybe it might be a family problem. Maybe it might be a financial problem. Maybe it might be such a complex problem, you just say, I don't know what to do. Our problems are God's opportunities to help us so that we can go out and tell people how great God is. Let me say number two, we must first have our hearts right with God. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Again, look at just verse 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. We just saw, For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. We must have our hearts right with the Lord if we're going to have the life message that God wants. We cannot expect God to bless and to give us a life message if we have something in our heart that God does not want. Sometimes our prayers aren't answered, the Bible says, because we're regarding iniquity in our heart. By the way, thank God for prayer. But sometimes the heaven is brass because there's something that God's saying, you know what? Now, by the way, God always answers. He says yes, he says no, or he says wait. He always answers, okay? That's the answer, yes or no, wait. Sometimes wait might be, I want to answer you, but I don't want you to get it. Look, and I've never had a rebellion problem with my children. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm missing 3. My wife's 6. My wife's got 1, 7. And then 1's in patch 8. Okay? I've never had a rebellion problem. But here's the thing. If one of my children are in rebellion, okay, that's not when I'm going to pour out my blessings on them. Okay? And so God is saying, listen, He wants to show himself strong on behalf of those their hearts are right. Let me say number 3, realize yesterday's blessing, yesterday's life message is not good enough for today or tomorrow. Now, God reminded Asa, he said, listen, don't you remember that I delivered you from the Ethiopians, this large million-man army? But that blessing of that million-man army was not good enough for today. And I'm going quickly, but I'm trying to get here to the main crutch of the message. Number next, the Lord wants to show himself strong in big areas and little areas of life so we can share with others what God is doing. The Ethiopian was big. By the way, the next group of the enemy was big. This morning I preached a message on faith, and we're supposed to study. We study our Bibles. We get our concordance out. We get our dictionary out, and we get commentaries out. But I got this little website, and it's got the 49 character qualities of Christ. It's new. I just got it a couple weeks ago, and so I think the computer sort of could make us a little bit lazy. I'm not sure if that's real studying, but I do get some good stuff from there. And it had the 49 character qualities of Christ, and then I hit faith. I was studying faith, and I just wanted to maybe just see if I can get a little insight, and it hit faith, and then this 49 character qualities of Christ, and we were memorizing them in school, and a lot of us memorize them, and so one of them is faith, and so I hit faith, and then it opened up. And all of these messages on faith, there's messages and articles. And then there was a one, the title of it was How to Take Care of a Family of 19 with No Salary. Now, how many know that it's not always the title that gives a good message, but the title is what gets you to read it? And I said, man, how to take care of a family of 19 with no salary. How many might get your curiosity on that one, right? Got mine. Whoosh, I put the arrow over there. Boom. Hit that. It opened up. And here's a picture of a family of 19, 17 children. All their own. No adopted. Crystal said they now have 22. 22 children. By the way, these are Americans. Oh, they must be out in some primitive country, you know. 22 children. Bates family. Now, I'd never heard of them. I told my kids, I mentioned it to my kids. They said, oh, that's the Duggar family's friends. The Duggars have 19. I guess all the 19s and 17s and 22s hang out together. And so I turned this on as a sermon. And the father of, at that time, 17, now 22 kids. The guy only looks 35. He's not adopting any. I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. By the way, I'm interested now. And he goes on, tells a story. And he's teaching. By the way, Brother Ron, and Brother Rick, he worked for Nabisco. He was a sales guy for Nabisco for a little while. But he just had a good testimony. I don't know all his doctrine. I don't know. I'm not endorsing everything. I just what I saw was pretty good. And it's 22 children. That's pretty nice. He's telling a testimony on how that he got to a point in his life. He said, "You know what, Lord? I just really want to be a vessel of honor. I want to give. I've given you my whole life, and Lord, I just and he wanted to, he was just wanting to get out of the secular work, and so he's praying and he's seeking the Lord. And then he said he went and got some advice, and the advice he got was this. It was real good, real simple. Why don't you let God build your life message right where you are? You don't have to quit your job to go in ministry. You don't have to become a missionary. You don't have to become a preacher. Let God do something great in your life." And he used that phrase, build a life message right where you are. It was sort of like a wake-up call. And he said, "Oh, wow." Then he started, of course, you know, you got 22 children. At that time, you know, his family was a little smaller, 17. He said, let me start with, they want to get a swing set for their children. I think you need to buy a playground for your children. You got that many. And he got with his wife and he said, "Let's pray for a swing set." By the way, God wants to show himself strong in every area of our life. If you get anything, get this. Now, here, Asa, it was military. Gideon, it was the military. It was a battle. But God wanted to show himself strong there. And then we went over to the New Testament. We saw Mark chapter 5. And God wanted to show himself strong and casting these demons out and giving this man who had been chained down and really making havoc of the whole community. And God wanted to show himself strong and cast those demons out and straighten this guy out and put him back front and center and get him saved and tell everybody about what God's done. However, God wants to be involved in every part of our life. And here's this guy. Bates. So he's, you know, "I'm going to do that." He thought maybe he ought to step out in faith and give up his job and God just come take care of all 19 of us. That's a lot of mouths to feed. And he said, I'll start just with my children. He said, "You know, I have my children." And he's talking, and I'm going to give all the stories, but he just prayed. He prayed for a swing set for his children. And then he's talking to his wife, and they said, "You know, we can afford a swing set." He said, "You know, I want to pray for one. I want God to show himself strong in this, here's a start." And he said, "You got it." He said, "You wouldn't believe this." He said, "Someone showed up at our front yard and said, 'Hey, you guys need a swing set?'" He said, "Well, why do you ask?" He said, "Well, I see your family over here and just see all the kids, and I thought maybe you can use a swing set." He said, "Sure, we can use a swing set." He said, and they had looked at swing sets and priced them and, you know, looked at the ones they're going to buy. He said, "When this guy brought over the swing set," he said, "it was not a swing set. It was a playground." He went on to tell, he said, "This thing could take care of all my children." And he said, "You know what God was doing? He was just showing himself strong in even small things." He went on, and I won't go on to all of this, and he went on to start a landscape or a cut and tree down business or something, and he said, you know, he said he told his mother came, and he said, "Guess what, Mom?" He said, "You know, we just learned to trust God in everything." So, well, that's good, but, you know, she told him, she said, "Now, realize this, that God's busy, and don't bother him with those small things. By the way, God is not too busy for anything, okay? He's omnipresent, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he can do everything, and he can do it all at the same time. And so he said, "Mommy, I'm praying for a weed whacker. She said, "Honey, that his mom come to visit. That doesn't, that's okay, Mom. We're just learning to trust the Lord in everything." And they just got done talking, and some guy pulled up and said, "Hey, do you need a weed whacker?" And his mom said, "You staged this. You staged this, didn't you? You knew he was going to come up." And he said, "No, I didn't, Mom." Hey, God's interested in our weed whackers. Oh, man, he went on, and I don't want to spend the whole time. He went on. It went from swing sets to weed whackers. The next thing you know it, someone gave him a $50,000. He's cutting trees. He had his own business. A $50,000, I forget what you call it, just one of those lifts where you could get up there and cut the trees, tree trimmer, and moving all around. Here's the thing. I want to just communicate. God wants to communicate right here. God wants to be a part of all of our lives so that he can show himself strong, so that we can go out in the world and tell them what great things God has done. This world needs to know. They say, "What's wrong with America? And what's going on? And what's going on with all the filth and all the garbage?" They don't believe there's a God. They don't know how big God really is. Part of it is it's our fault. Small and big. I remember the biggest, at that time, the biggest blessing, financial blessing. By the way, we sort of think the only thing God blesses, you know, that's like the big money. You know, we've all prayed for money. Probably if I was asked if we had a prayer list, some of us right now, probably a lot of us were praying for money. And my wife and I, before we started the church, we went out and raised support for a little bit, not long. And we were raising support, and we got a phone call that we were going to be given $3,600. Well, look, for a guy like 26 years old, back in however long that ago, that was a lot of money for me. $3,600. I didn't even know who they were. $3,600, okay? You say, why would God do something like that? I'll tell you why. By the way, God loves us. We're his children. He wants to bless us. But you know what he wants us to do? He wants us to go tell a lost world how great things God has done for us. Small things. Brother Ray texted me today, and he said, "Pastor," he said, "I have a life message." I mentioned life message in the Saturday Faithfulness Rally. He said, "I have a life message." He said, "I've been visiting a family for 4 years. Did you say 4 years? 4 years. And praying for them for 4 years. He said they came to church this morning. You say, what's the life message there? You know, he can come to workers and say, you know what? Don't give up on anybody. Be faithful. Be patient. My wife, and I talked to her today, she said, you know, when the children were small, you ever go to a parking lot and you're like, there's no parking spaces. And at one time, ours are like, you know, okay? Now it's okay. When the youngest is 9, you're fine. But when they're like 1 and 2 and 3 and 5, and, you got a parkway out there. And my wife said, she would pray. So this isn't a big thing. God wants to be in every part of our life so that we can go tell a world that we have a big God. And she would pray for a parking spot, okay? She'd pray for a parking spot. Now, she said she neglected it, you know, she wouldn't always pray, but when she'd remember, she'd pray, and she said inevitably, there would be a parking. Now, let me say this. You guys are 21 years old, okay? God wants you to park way out there because you need the discipline and character, okay? Don't you be praying. But the point is, God wants to be involved in every area of our life. Let me encourage our church tonight. Let's be specific in our prayers. Be specific. Oh, I just, you know, I gave up. I love God and all that, but I gave up on praying a long time ago. Don't do that. Now, you might need to come to God and say, oh, God, search my heart and see if there's anything in my heart that's there that's keeping you from answering my prayers, and be open and be willing and be obedient. And if God reveals to you as you're reading the Bible, or if he just reveals something in your life, you want to confess it and you want to forsake it and then come to God. But be specific. And I want to encourage you, don't have to do this, but this is just an encouragement. And I've done it before and I just started doing it again. Journal. I have a journal, but now, you know, my staff is really bringing me down the path of, I do everything on the computer now. And so I do my Bible and my journal on my computer, and then I have an area, prayer request, and I have a prayer sheet. I have it in my computer, but I print it out, and I have a place there where I can journal my prayers being answered. Let's get some fresh prayers answered. Not just so that we can have God's blessing. I enjoy God's blessing. I enjoy God's hand. I enjoy seeing God bless the people in our church and God bless the different ministries. Mrs. Hardesty, she said, oh, there's revival going on in the deaf ministry and visitors and people growing in the Lord. That's exciting. But more important than our blessing, what God wants us to do is God wants to show us to show a lost world and also growing in new Christians that our God is a great God. We're, by the way, many of us, we have tracts in our top pocket. And as Brother Myers mentioned, you know, we're going to McDonald's. And I hope you, when you go to McDonald's, as you get your quarter pounder with cheese and your French fry and your shake and you supersize it, give them a tract. And if you have an opportunity, you're sitting there, witness to people on an airplane, witness to people in the airport. But over the next couple months, we have a plan and a strategy. We're going to knock on a lot of doors. We have time-sensitive tracks. They're fall tracks. There's fall, and then there's winter. Our tracks, I saw it the other day, and it has like, though, I think it has like fall leaves on it. Even though we don't really have a fall here in Southern California, some of us have a few trees that look fallish, but not really. But it's a fall track, okay? And it has a gospel on the back, on the track. And we're going to have 60,000 tracks and 10,000 flyers. And here's what's going to happen. I'm done. I'm going to land on the airplane right now. Here's what I want to challenge our church. For the lost's sake, for your blessing's sake, but more important than this, so that we can show the world how great God is. I want to challenge you to do this, okay? Thank God for last year's blessing and prayers answered, and thank God for his goodness 6 months ago, and thank God for what he did a month ago, and we can always, I preached in Monterey Park about memorials just a little bit this morning, and we want those, but I want to challenge you to do this, Vinny. I want to challenge you to do this to all of us. Let's get on our knees and say, God, can you do something specific for me? And I'll be faithful to give you the glory. And then when we go out soul winning, okay, by the way, it's the gospel that's the power of God unto salvation. We don't need to say, oh, this happened to me and this happened to me. But as we're witnessing, and maybe let me say this. You know this as well as I do. As we go knock on doors and we pass out tracts, how many times do you run into a Christian that's away from God and they've walked away from God, or somehow they've been beat up by the world, or they've been given into the flesh, or that Satan deceived them and they've gotten away from God? You know what they need? They need a Christian that's vibrant, that's walking with God, that has God's fresh hand on him, his life, to say, hey, man, God loves you. God wants to help you. God wants to bless you. And then you share what God's doing in your life. You're not trying to boast yourself. You're just letting them know God's working today. A life message. We're going to, here again, go and tell. Well, we're going to tell the gospel. We're going to share the gospel. But I challenge our church tonight, just before we close, get something fresh from God. By the way, I want to do it for his glory. I want to do it for my family. I still have seven children at home. They know me, they know my weaknesses, but I want my children. When we get around and we have family altar and we read our Bible and we have blessing time, I want my children to know dad's getting some prayers answered. Dad's walking with God. Mom's walking with God. I want to give that to my children. I want to give the glory to God, but we want to get the word out there that we have a great God and is doing great things. I've mentioned Cody and Crystal for a while because every time I see Crystal, I see she's gaining weight. But she's because she's going to have a baby, and her stomach's getting bigger. Can you guys come up here a minute? Don't drop her, man. Not here. Go around that way. It's too high. Walk her up. Hold on to her. We don't want her to fall. And she faints. All right, right there. I mentioned this, but I want you to see, of course, a couple years ago, Cody was in jail. Now, he was saved, got away from the Lord. By the way, when we say, so-and-so's on vacation. Lengthy vacations, okay? Brother Cody's on vacation. I'll never forget. He was a Christian, got away from God, and Crystal came by to ask me some things. I think something about Cody or something, and then we got Cody on the phone while he was in jail. He was sizzling. I think he's quoting verses, and you know, he said, "Oh, jailhouse religion." He hadn't got over it, And then Cody got out, and man, he really just loved God in the Word of God, in the Word of God. By the way, you're in jail, you got a lot of extra time, amen? And he put it to good use, and he just getting in the Bible and studying the Bible. Man, he came out, I'm like, wow, the guy's just getting the Bible, just loving God and wanting to serve the Lord. And he got out, and man, right away started working in the RU ministry and just serving the Lord and having his Bible, he was able to get into Bible college, and one day. I want you to get this. And he was right there, and I gave a little story about somebody that wanted to have a baby, and they couldn't have a baby, and they prayed, and the pastor anointed them with oil, and then 9 months later they had a baby. So I said that. By the way, be careful what you say when you preach, because people in your congregation will keep you to it. And Brother Cody comes right here, and he says, "Hey, preacher, I'll go down and I'll greet people, but a lot of times people come up here before I go down, and I'll talk to them right up here, and then I'll go in the back once it curves out." And Brother Cody says, "Hey, preacher, praying to have babies and anointing up with oil and James," and he said, "Hey, how about me?" He says, "My wife and I, we have one son, and we've tried, we can't have any more children." I said, "Fine." I said, "We'll pray." And so I don't know if it was then or the next week or the next day, we went up to my office and we went. I don't know, maybe we opened to James chapter 5, I can't remember everything, and we prayed that God would give them a baby. And you say, "Pastor, what'd you think?" I'll just tell you what I thought. I didn't think they'd have a baby. He said, "Oh, I thought you were a man of great faith. Maybe half a mustard seed, okay? But mustard seed will move a mountain. I think having a baby is as hard as to move a mountain. I'm not doing it anyways. God is doing it." And so I thought they would, but then I thought they wouldn't. How many ever pray and you say, "God's going to do this, I think"? Are you like me? Okay, you know. And so a few weeks later, Cody's not in church, and, you know, I text him and say, "Hey, where are you doing?" He said, "I'm in an emergency with my wife, and she's sick. Something wrong with her." And I said, "Oh, man." And I didn't even think. Dummy. He probably didn't either. Okay? And then I can't remember the sequence, and if I got these days a little bit wrong, it was a couple days later or something, did you text me and say, "It seems like my wife, It was that same night, that same, later on that night, that they found out she was going to have a baby. I guess if you go to doctors and they're checking your stomach and you're sick, they might say, you know, that's a possibility. And then it was the time, what was it, 6 weeks at the time? Or six weeks, and we traced it back. That's when we prayed. By the way, I'm not taking any credit at all. We give the credit to God. But if anyone, it was his faith. I didn't go to him. I didn't say, hey, brother, let me pray for you. I got a bunch of oil upstairs. Let's pray. And God, yeah, it's a holy oil. No, I didn't say that. It was his faith. Now, you know what he has? Now, you need more. You need God's hand on you today. But see right there? Right there. 6 months. Baby shower. Signed up. What do you call that? Registered at Salvation Army or something, or Target or Walmart or something. But here's the thing. That's a life message. Now, God, okay, there's no healing lines in this church. We don't believe in that, okay? Oh, Pastor, yeah, I've told people, look, I've prayed and things have happened, but I've also prayed in the hospital, and guess what? 2 days later, people died. So don't think we don't believe in healing lines, and there's no faith healers. Pray for your neighbor's cat. No, I don't know what that means. Okay, thank you. You can have a seat. Let's bow our heads and let's stand together.